We're going to address the sin of gambling. We're going to talk about that today because as we look around us, and as I have been to Independence for some 9 or 10 years now, and have noticed the establishing of those gambling casinos down on the river that wasn't there when I first started coming here, we can see almost an avalanche of a downfall of morals and values, and it's just landsliding, avalanching down upon us. The immorality of our day, and gambling is just another part of that great landslide of values. Well, how can the Bible help us to confront gambling when gambling is not even in the Bible? Well, let us be reminded that there are a lot of things that are not in the Bible. Abortion is not mentioned in the Bible. We do not find an apostle or a prophet in any place condemning the sin of abortion. We do not find anywhere an apostle writing about the sin of pornography. We do not find in our Bibles anywhere concerning the use of heroin. But, beloved, the principles, the precepts are there which teach us that these things are a sin. And so the Bible addresses all of these things by way of principle and precept. Just as we know that it is wrong to smoke marijuana because of the precepts and principles of the Bible, thus we can also know that other things are wrong, such as the sin of gambling. And we need to speak out about that. It is growing in popularity. Gambling is legalized in almost every state in the Union. Not long ago, it was nationally outlawed. But now it has been legalized, and we are sad. We are sad to see that our government is depending upon now the revenue brought in by gambling to operate. What a pitiful thing. What are they going to legalize next in order to gain revenue for our government? Are they going to legalize prostitution? I wouldn't be surprised if that is not far in our future. Las Vegas is making gambling now a family affair. It is making it for the whole family, for mom and dad and the kids to come, and they've provided a playland for the children while mom and dad are at the blackjack table or at the slot machine. They are now building a future base for their revenues of gambling by bringing in the children and the youth of our nation. How unfortunate to see this popularity expanding as it is today. Well, the Bible clearly shows that this is a sinful activity, and that's the title of our lesson today, how the Bible equips us and enables us to confront the sin of gambling. Let me invite you to use your Bibles to read several passages. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible talks about that who we yield ourselves to, that's whose servants we are. Notice Romans 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. When we yield ourselves to gambling, we become a servant to gambling. We serve it, and it is devious. The Bible warns us about the deceptiveness of sin. Hebrews 13 and verse 3. We are to beware of the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 that man cannot serve two masters. Now watch this. You can't serve two. You cannot serve God and at the same time serve mammon. And that word mammon indicates wealth and riches. Money can become our master. We can serve it. It will call the shots. It will dominate our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34 that we become servants of sin when we sin. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the truth in John 8 and verse 32 is that liberator which liberates us from sin. Now, gambling can dominate our lives just as pornography can become a habit. We can become addicted to pornography. Ted Bundy, the convicted and now the dead serial killer, admitted that. He admitted on television, on an interview, that he had a craving, a hunger, a unceasable appetite for pornography, and that fed his zeal to kill women, and so it can become a slave. Lying, you've heard of an habitual liar. That can enslave someone, just like gambling can. Drinking enslaves people. Smoking enslaves people. Power can enslave people. Gambling will enslave people. It can become our slave master. I have not brought all of the newspaper articles that I could have brought. I did bring some to document the fact that gambling can be a slave master. It is sin. Sin dominates your life, just like drugs or drinking or smoking. It can become addictive. I have here the Fort Worth Star-Telegram from February the 11th, 1996. Casino bandit bet his life on gambling. Listen to this. This is not the preacher making this up. This is not the Bible. You know, I tell people sometimes, you don't have to believe what I say. You can just disregard what I say about a matter. And you don't have to believe the Bible. It's your choice. If you don't believe the Bible and what it says about sin, that's your choice. You don't have to. But just go out here in the world. There's the proving ground. There's the testing ground. And if you want to know what drinking will do for you, just go out there and see. The proof is there. The evidence is there. If you wonder what heroin will do to you, just go out there. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to the Bible or drinking or anything else. Just go and see for yourself. I have been studying with a man before I moved for about a year and a half. He was coming to church. He wanted to stop drinking. He knew he had a problem. When I met him, he was going to AA, and he started going to church, and he would try so hard, but he'd hang around the wrong crowd, and he'd begin to drink again, and every once in a while, he'd come to my house drunk, and my kids would see him, and there he is. He wouldn't make sense. He would be acting ridiculous. He wasn't himself at all. Otherwise, he was very nice and very pleasant to be around until he came to the house drunk. And I would say, kids, there it is. You don't have to listen to me. There's the evidence right there. You don't have to believe me about gambling. But here is admission from the people who've been involved in it. It was Michael Condiff. It was all Michael Condiff thought about. The horses as they burst out of the starting gate. The odds on which one would reach the finish line first. The thrill of laying down a bet. The passion had seized the small town newspaper sports reporter, turning him into a self-described addict. He is an admitted addict. That's why it violates the passages of the Bible. It dominates you. It becomes your master. Let me read on a few of these other remarks about Condiff. Condiff won $100 in one of his first gambling experiences. It was a windfall for the 23-year-old who was trying to stretch his meager salary to support his wife, a baby, his teenage sister, and his father, who was recovering from a heart attack just a few years after Condiff's mother died. That paid the light bill, and I thought, this is easy money, Condiff said. He began to think of gambling as a second income. And the Greyhound track took hold of him, he said. Soon he was going 3 and 4 times a week. It became the most important thing in his life, he said. Condiff said that he would lie to his wife, who was his high school sweetheart from Louisville, claiming to be reporting on a baseball game when he was really at the track, blowing $300 he had taken from their bank account. I can remember going out to that Greyhound track at nights, literally crying because I didn't want to go, Condiff said. I wasn't watching my daughter grow up, but I was sitting watching little dogs run around a track. It became his master. You cannot serve God and mammon. It goes on to say, Condiff said He often worked at jobs long enough to save about $2,000, then he would leave. And then I'd think, now I can go make a living as a gambler, he said. All those things about high school sports and being a sports writer were secondary. I didn't care about that. All there was that rush of laying down the bet. And then it goes on later in this article to give these statistics. Listen to this. Almost 5% of Texans, or 570,000 to 640,000 people, have had gambling-related problems in their lifetime, according to a 1992 study by the Texas Commission on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. Treatment is considered extremely difficult because of the social acceptability of gambling. Everybody in our society says, gambling is okay, Breton said. We even have lines in the newspaper on football games. That's why it is wrong. It becomes your master. And I could read these things over and over again. Here's bingo brings pain to addicted gambler. She lost jobs, she lied, she sold her furniture, her new Curtis Mathis TV. She said, I even sold watches that the family had given me for Christmas presents. And I closed out a savings account. After bingo binge, you feel remorse for playing. You feel remorse. You feel bad about it. It's bothering your conscience. That's why it's wrong and that's why it's sinful. Here's another one. Let me just read the headlines. Here's a woman with a worried look on her face. It says, it's fun. This is her admission. It's fun. It's boring. It's profitable. It's expensive. It's addictive. It's bingo. That's what she said. And she said even when she won, she felt guilty. Afraid, perhaps, to tempt fate, she didn't even smile when she won. She didn't even enjoy it when she won. It's your master. You don't even enjoy it. It's a slave master. Here's another one right here. Bingo. Let me just read a short sentence. Bingo makes my heart start beating, said Natalie Ferguson, 31, of Euless, an American Airlines reservation agent by day, ardent bingo player by night. It's an addiction. You can really get hooked. So I warn people to watch before they start. I warn people. That's the admission of a gambler. I have here an excerpt or an article from an old Parade magazine. And this is what is reported happened to Atlantic City, New Jersey, after they legalized gambling in that city. And the title of this is, Why Casino Gambling is a Bad Bet. This is not the Bible talking. This is not the preacher talking. This is a newspaper telling us, reporting on this. And notice what it says concerning the city of Atlantic City. Off the boardwalk, it's a wasteland, Carl Zietz, a member of New Jersey Casino Control Commission, calls it a place where once stable, fine neighborhoods have become collections of scattered, barren, littered lots, a sorry testament to the supposed advantages of public and private partnership. The poor people who once had danced the streets the night gambling was legalized were soon bemoaning their fate as property taxes and water and sewer utility bills soared along with street crimes, prostitution, and drug abuse. It is wrong, wrong, wrong because it enslaves and entraps people and causes them great heartache and destruction. Dear Abby, I have a big problem with my husband. He's constantly buying lottery tickets. We are always broke. And when I beg him to stop buying those tickets, he says if I don't quit nagging him, he will divorce me. Abby, I don't want a divorce. We have 6 children to support, and we're already on welfare. My husband spends the welfare money to buy more lottery tickets. So far, he's bought over 1,000 tickets, and we've only won $2. Please help. And she advises her to get him involved in Gamblers Anonymous, an organization which is now spread across our nation trying to help people who have a problem with gambling. Gambling is a sin because it controls you. It drives you. Jesus Christ is not your Lord and your Master. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says that we're to sanctify the Lord Jesus in our hearts. Beloved, if you look to the throne of your heart, if you look within yourself and in your mind, and if Jesus Christ is not controlling your life, then something else is. And if you gamble, it's going to be the drive for money. And only one can be our master. Now, when we're talking about gambling, let me be clear. We are talking about lotteries. We're talking about state lotteries or any other kind of lotteries. We're talking about casinos. We're talking about horse races, dog races, poker games, where you work when they have those, what we used to be called when I was in the workforce, the football pots, bingo, betting on golf, playing slot machines, any kind of betting, any kind of wagering, pitching pennies, raffle tickets. That's what we're talking about. That is violating the passages that we have just read. But that's not all of the passages that it violates. It also violates the passage which tells us to lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. It violates that passage because that's what drives a person to gamble, is to lay up for himself treasures upon the earth. I had another article that I intended on bringing. It's another one of those front pagers. It's right on the front page. And there's two young girls. One's about 19. The other's about 20. They're friends. They're buying a lottery ticket. And they were interviewing them. Why are you buying a lottery ticket? They said, we normally don't buy one, but when that lottery gets up into the millions, then we buy one. We want to win some of those millions, those big accumulations of money after a while. And so they admit it's the high stakes, it's the riches, it's the fortunes that can be won. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. The Bible says also in that same passage of Matthew chapter 6, for where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus, didn't he? He came to Jesus with respect. And he came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, and he called Jesus what? He called him good master. He called him master. You're my master. I want to have eternal life. Do you notice his true spiritual desire? What did he want? I want everlasting life. He was a spiritual-minded man. It appeared. And the Lord says, will you keep the commandments? He was spiritually minded because he admitted, I have kept those commandments. But when the Lord said, when the Lord addressed his money, when the Lord addressed where his treasures were, to sell what he had, give it to the poor, and follow me, he went away sad. Why? Because money was his master. Jesus was not his master. His master was money. It controlled him. He wanted to go to heaven. He wanted to have everlasting life. But he could not have it because his master was controlling him. His true master was his money. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 2 that we are to set our affections on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where our affections are. You know what affections are, don't you? You know, when Brother Stroud and I was talking earlier, I'll be glad when I get home to hug my kids, to hug my wife. That's where my affections are. And that's what the Bible is talking about. Where are your affections? Are your affections in heaven or are they somewhere else? And the gambler, his affection is set upon money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible reveals to us important, vital, significant information concerning why we do not want to gamble. It is when we gamble, we have violated what this passage is teaching us to do. It says in verse 9, but they that will be rich, that's the gambler. That's the person who's playing the football pot or whatever it's called. That's the person who's putting the money in the slot machines. They that will be rich. See that attitude? Those who gamble are those who want to be richer, who want to benefit themselves. It says that they fall into temptation and a snare. You know what a snare is? When you're trying to snare a rabbit or when you're trying to snare some sort of animal, you camouflage the snare. You don't let them see the snare. They think they're just running down the trail, or they think they're just going to get some sort of bait and it's not anything's going to happen to them. Well, the Bible says they that will be rich can't see those snares. We've just read about people who got caught in the snare. They are miserable people now. They've wrecked their lives. They've divorced their wife or their husband. They've ruined their lives. They're in debt. This Michael Condiff, the very first one that he's in jail. He robbed banks in order to gamble the money. It is full of temptations and snares and causes people to fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so gambling is fraught with many unseen snares. It has serious, dangerous, spiritual effects upon us. And so let us listen to what the Bible says. There's a passage over in the book of Proverbs that's helped me out a lot as a preacher, but it helps us to understand this subject as well. In Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, the wise wisdom of heaven says, "Remove far from me vanity. Remove far from me worthlessness," in other words, "and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches." I don't want either. I don't want to be poor, but I don't want to be rich either. "Feed me with food convenient for me." Why? Why don't you want to be rich? Doesn't everybody want to be rich? In America, there's the American dream. Everybody wants a nice house and nice cars and nice things. Don't you want that? Notice what he says in verse 9. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Don't let me be rich, Lord. I don't want to be rich. Why? Because I might turn my back on you and deny you. And beloved, that ought to be our motivation. But gambling violates these passages that we've been discussing. That's why it's a sin. The Bible helps and enables me to confront gambling because of the principles and the precepts that we have. It violates the passages which also prohibit covetousness. The whole concept, the whole motivation of gambling is out of greed. Getting, gaining, increasing riches and treasures and money. It is driven by the desire to accumulate. That's what gambling is driven by. Greed and covetousness. And the Bible says, "Let not fornication or uncleanness or covetousness once be named among you." It forbids us to be a covetous person. You remember what's going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, don't you? There's a man there that is in an immoral situation. And Paul is saying, "You deliver that man to Satan. You purge out the old leaven. You don't have any company with that man. You don't eat with that man." Well, that's not the only person he says don't eat with. That's not the only kind of person that he says purge out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat." Well, how do you know when someone's covetous? How do you come to that determination? Well, I believe one way you can tell if that person's a gambler. And he's desiring that which the Bible forbids. He is violating the passages. that we have already covered. That is a covetous person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Well, when I look at myself, well, am I a drunkard? Well, what am I doing? Am I idolater or an adulterer? Have I been doing that? I can determine. I can determine if I'm an adulterer. I can determine if I'm an extortioner. And I can identify in my life if I'm covetous. And I need to examine myself and my motivation. Why am I gambling, if that be the case? Why does a person gamble? For greed, for gaining, for increasing your riches. Beloved, it violates this passage. The American Standard Version says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "Be you free from the love of money." That's what it says. Now, why are you gambling? It's a violation of these passages. It is a sin. It is condemned by precept and by principle. The very nature of gambling impinges and conflicts with all that Christianity is all about. Gambling causes one to violate what God says about not loving the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world." It explicitly says that, and we can understand clearly what that's saying. Don't love the world. Why are you gambling? Where is your affections? Are you trying to lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth? Are you trying to gain and through greed? Gambling clearly transgresses that. This is the very heart and core of gambling. It is out of a love for the world. Now, if you love the world and you become a friend of the world, certainly you're going to be a friend of the world if you love the world, then you have made yourself an enemy with God. James 4 and verse 4. Do you know what happens to enemies of God? Sodom and Gomorrah was the two cities in that region there was enemies with God. And God sent fire down from heaven and destroyed them. Nadab and Abihu became enemies of God. He sent fire down from heaven. And as Aaron looked at those burnt bodies that perhaps were still smoldering, and you could smell the burnt flesh, everyone there was impressed with the fact that violations of God's will not be accepted. And that burnt, smoldering flesh there drove that point home. We cannot become an enemy of God. Gambling violates the law that God has laid out to love not the world. Gambling violates the passage of giving. Acts 20 and verse 32, the Lord said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." To give. The idea and the concept of Christianity is giving. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, "Work with your hands a thing that is good, that you may have," not to keep, but to give to him that needeth. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about giving. Giving. As we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men. Let us give. Let us work good. Let us think about the benefit of others. But gambling is just the opposite of that. Gambling is interested in getting, not giving. Getting. You know, the rich man in Luke 16, he wouldn't give. He wouldn't give Lazarus even the crumbs that fell from his table. And so the rich man was tormented because of that. Gambling endeavors to take instead of give. The Bible says that love seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And gambling violates that passage. Gambling is a violation of all of the principles that make Christianity what it is. Gambling mitigates against the biblical principles of how we are to get gain. Did you know the Bible teaches us the scriptural ways in order for us to gain? It teaches us that there are three ways for us to honorably make a gain, to exchange valuables. There are only three ways that the Bible authorizes for us to exchange valuables. Number one is work. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 10 that the workman is worthy of his meat. That's one legitimate scriptural way to exchange valuables. Luke chapter 10 and verse 7 says the laborer is worthy of his hire. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. That is a way to exchange valuables, one way that the Bible allows and permits that. But then, of course, if valuables can be exchanged through selling. Jesus told the parables in Matthew chapter 13 of the man who found the goodly pearl, and he sold what he had to buy that pearl. And then the treasure in the field that he found, that treasure was obtained by the man selling and exchanged valuables in that way. It is a way that people can legitimately exchange valuables through sale. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 45, the Christians sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And of course, that's repeated several times in the early chapters of the book of Acts. Valuables may be exchanged, and of course, valuables may be given. Free will offerings. In Luke chapter 6, verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh of thy goods, ask them not again. And other passages, of course, that relate to free will giving. And so the Bible authorizes that way. It doesn't authorize wagering and betting and the matter of gambling that we're discussing today. But you know, someone's always going to come along and say, yeah, but you know, I bought that raffle ticket for a good cause. It's for a good cause. It's to benefit this family over here. Well, could a woman say, well, I committed this act of prostitution to take in money for this good cause? How about this? I robbed this bank the other day because I wanted to give some money to the church. Can I do evil in order to do good? The Bible says, no, you can't do that. You can't do evil in order to do good. You can't mug a rich man in order to help some poor, needy children. Listen, beloved, you know, even when we see churches having rummage sales and auctions, beloved, if it's a good cause, just give the money. Just give it. Why do you have to win something and gain something? Do what the Bible says. Just give it. You don't have to make a game out of giving. You know, I think that's what people, let's just make a game, let's have an auction. Don't make a game out of it. Just do what the Bible says. Gambling violates our responsibility to be a good steward. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, a steward is to be a faithful man. The Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwells therein. We are stewards. Everything belongs to God. Our soul, our body belongs to God. And we're to be a good steward of our time, our abilities, our monies, and so many other things. We're to be a good steward of it. But it violates, gambling violates the principle of being a good steward. Would you put your money in a bank where the officials of that bank gambled your checking account? You had how much in your checking account? Well, I had $900. Well, we only gambled $400 of it. Now, we did win 20 back, but now you've only got $420 left. Would you do banking with a bank like that? Do you think the elders of the church ought to take the funds of the church and go down here to the river and gamble? Is that good stewardship? What about your government officials? You think the government officials are to take your tax money and go buy lottery tickets with it? That is not good stewardship, and we can tell that in every area except when we get to our own personal lives. Gambling is a bad risk. It is a bad risk. It's a loser's game. Las Vegas was not built. They don't have businesses to lose money. People are not in business to lose money. Las Vegas was not built by people winning. They have those lights. They are paying their air conditioning bills, their electric bills, because people are losing. It is not a good gamble. You know what the odds are in a state lottery for winning $10,000? 600,000 to 1. That's what chance you have. It is a terrible squandering of money. It's squandering. I wish I had time to go on concerning these matters today. But gambling is poor stewardship. It violates so many other principles found in our Bibles. But you know, someone might say, well, you know, it's legal. Well, they've legalized abortion. They've legalized homosexuality. They've legalized drinking, but that doesn't make it right. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sin may be right in the eyes of men, but that doesn't make it right in the eyes of God. I think Jay mentioned a moment ago in John chapter 19, 23 and 24, there is the scene of Jesus being crucified. And there Jesus is giving His life. Giving His life. His life's blood is flowing from those wounds and He's giving His life. There's the Lord. He's giving. But look real close at that picture, because down there at the bottom of the cross, there's some men who are gambling. They're gambling for the garment of Christ. They don't care about Him. They could care less about Him. They're only concerned about themselves. And so you have those two images. Men getting and gaining and thinking selfishly toward themselves. And then there's our Lord giving freely by His love. Which place will you take? A Christian cannot gamble any more than he can be a bootlegger, any more than he can be a racketeer, a stripper, or beer truck driver, or a worker in a distillery. Gambling is wrong. Give me the Bible so it might guide me in the way of truth and keep me from the path of evil. Give us the Bible.